The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning. And every morning. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Our gospel passage for this morning is what passes for a birth narrative in John's gospel, filled with powerful poetry, rich theological ideas, and a mystic wonder that is almost overwhelming. This is not your typical nativity scene. Far removed from the history lesson and epic scene setting that we heard last night from Luke's gospel, and even further still from the precise moment of Joseph's own conflict and dream-inspired resolution in Matthew's gospel, John's description of the personhood of Jesus, the Word with a capital W, is eternal, cosmic, completely outside of time as we know it. Jesus, John tells us, the Word was there at the very beginning, was the source of all creation. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. In this passage, and throughout the rest of John's gospel text, we find much of the very foundations of our theology, our understanding of the nature of God. And all of these incredible ideas are right there in this gorgeously rich imagery, this wonderful poetry. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, and the glory of as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And the Word became flesh. God, I love that phrase. You see, I was an English major, a student of literature, a worshiper of words. And as a lover of poetry, I can't resist the right combination of words. Other than the mysteries of faith and the unimaginable power of the Holy Spirit, this love of language, I'm sure, is why I gravitate towards this passage. And yet, as wrapped up as I can get in all of this mystical, eternal Word with a capital W language, I somehow always forget about John the Baptist. John the Baptist, John the Witness, John, the wild-eyed, camel cloth-wearing, locust and honey-eating weirdo, living off in the brush somewhere. John, waist-deep in the River Jordan, proclaiming his butt off. John. Not John the Evangelist, to be clear. Not the John who delivered this gospel text. But John, the one who leaped in his mother's womb at the exclamation of the pregnant Mary. John, who came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him, that John. John the testifier, his prophetic voice breaking through the poetry and mysticism of it all to shout at us that the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. John, deliverer of the good news that Jesus, the Word made flesh, the true light, the Father's only Son, was coming to dwell with us a while. And he was coming full of grace and truth to show us his glory and to save us from ourselves, to mend our brokenness, and to fill us with his abundant and liberating love. John, the man on the ground, where the rubber meets the road, bringing the good news to us live at 5, in color. John. I bet he had beautiful feet. In fact, I know he had beautiful feet. Just like his brother from another time and another mother, Isaiah, says to the scattered remnants of the people of Judah, the ruins of Jerusalem, he calls them, held in captivity far away in Babylon. Isaiah says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Or as Paul quotes him a little more syntactically, succinctly, a little more clearly in his letter to the early church in Rome, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Isaiah, John, these prophets of old we hear described in Hebrews, whose words, whose voices don't ring quite as clearly for us today, this Christmas day, as do the wailing of a newborn baby or the lessons of a great spiritual leader and revolutionary or the painful cries of a man on a cross. This Son whom God appointed heir of all things, through whom God also created the worlds, Jesus is the reason we are here after all. Today, most especially. But what are we to make of John and his beautiful feet? Blessed as we are to have been named and claimed at our baptism, blessed though we may be even before the water touched our brow, we who received him, who believed in his name, to whom he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. For us, it can be hard to get past the poetry of it all. For us, it can be easy to get lost in the imagery and the systems we design, the combination of words, the mystical power of ideas, and the systems that we design to try to grapple with those things that are just beyond our grasp. It can be very easy to lose ourselves in the fog of incense and pretty words and forget that there is work to be done. Especially today, this Christmas day, this day of celebration, this day of feasting, this day of present wrapping and unwrapping. This day of Nat King Cole or Mariah Carey or the Chipmunks or whatever you like to listen to, of tinsel and lights, We can so easily lose ourselves in the swirl of words and smells and wistful nostalgia and forget that we ourselves have some beautiful feet to tend to. You see, the Word becomes flesh, became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is not some fanciful story, some piece of history, some capture of a single moment in time a long, long time ago. No, this is the story for us. This story is our story. We are the recipients of God's abundant, merciful, liberating, and death-destroying love in Jesus Christ. We have been blessed to be called children of God, and we have been given the best gift of all, beautiful feet. We have been tasked to be bearers of this promise, beacons of this light, testifiers, witnesses, proclaimers, deliverers of this good news. But you see, this is not simply the work of our hearts and our minds, our thoughts and our prayers. This is not only something we do in the honoring of our own spiritual practices by coming to worship, by giving to the church, by whispering our hopes and dreams and wishes into the air. This is the work of some beautiful feet, moving on the hard, cold ground. This is the work that the world, in all its brokenness, its violence, its obsession with nostalgia, its rampant consumerism, its insatiable need for power and money and esteem, this is the work that the world, our world, is so desperately in need of. This is the work we are in need of. This is the work that requires the beautification of our feet. And the only way to beautify them is to get them moving, to use them to deliver the good news, to announce peace and salvation, to seek justice for all of creation, and to announce that Christ is King, born today in a feed trough in the middle of nowhere to save the entire world. So, my friends in Christ, my fellow children of God, let us be about this good work. Let us relish in the poetry, but not too long. Let us offer our prayers and raise up our new songs of joy and thanksgiving, but not for too long. Let us bask in the glow of that true light and the Christmas lights too, the light that darkness cannot overcome, but not for too long. Let us remember the birth of that very special boy so many years ago, but not so much that we forget his continued action in our lives and his call to us to use our beautiful feet, to get moving, to be about the work of delivering that good news, because, siblings, we have holy work to do with those beautiful, beautiful feet. Amen.